Jude gives a series of metaphors to warn about false shepherds and the kind of damage they can do to the church if left unchecked. In fact, you couldn't even really call them shepherds because they're walking paradoxes when we understand the text.
This is when we understand the text, studying God's Word to reach all the riches of full assurance in Christ. Thank you for subscribing, and if this has ministered to you, please let others know about our program. Here once again is Pastor Gabe Hughes.
Thank you, Becky. We're continuing our study of the book of Jude and left off at a place where Jude is going through a series of metaphors describing false teachers to better help us understand what kind of damage that they can do even to the church. And we'll come back to those metaphors again today, starting at about verse 12. But first of all, I want to jump back a little bit to verse 8, where Jude says, "Yet in like manner, these people," talking about false teachers, "also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones." Now, I mentioned to you when we were in 2 Peter, this was, I don't know, a few months ago now, but 2 Peter chapter 2 is very similar to some of the things that Jude says in his letter. And in fact, Peter uses this same phrasing, blaspheming the glorious ones. 2 Peter 2 verse 10, "Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones." What does this mean to blaspheme the glorious ones? Well, it is believing that the devil and his angels do not have the kind of power to influence me. My will is stronger than theirs. I'm not so weak in my mind that the devil is going to fool me to do his bidding or get caught in his snare. And when a person thinks that way, they've already been fooled by the devil to think that they're actually stronger than he is. And so that kind of attitude, that kind of approach to the devil and the kind of authority that he does have, which has been given to him by God to influence and manipulate those whose hearts are not with God. This is something that God allows the devil to do. When a person believes that they're not going to be susceptible to the devil and his schemes, then they've already fallen victim to the devil and his schemes. Jude has said something similar in Jude verse 8, "Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" My dad lives in the Atlanta area. And he came across a church. This is a new church startup, or at least they've just gained recognition, I think, in the Atlanta area. And so he sent me a link to this particular church and said, "I know you like to keep up with this stuff, so what do you what do you think of this?" And so I watched it. I watched the live stream of this particular church. They are a big mess. And so, but there was one thing in particular in the stream that I watched, and I didn't watch much of it. Right when I started it, I was already hearing unbiblical content right from the get-go. But I grabbed this little clip out of something that the pastor does leading his congregation in a particular prayer. I want you to listen to it here.
If you're watching us by streaming, we have a little bit of a technical difficulty. Our switcher just burned up, so you've got one camera instead of four. But we're glad you're watching us tonight. And if anybody wants to sow a seed for a switcher, this is a wonderful night. Can I tell you, the devil does not like this church. Every time we call a miracle service, something happens. Something's confusing. Can I know that he's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:22. But do you know we're kings and priests? And if I get a few kings and priests agreeing with us, I think we could have a switcher running without power. We don't even need to plug up to the wall. Amen. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Say, "In Jesus' name, devil, step away from the airwaves that Worship with Wonders Church is putting out. God, you called us to be a tabernacle of praise for the city of Atlanta. So right now, we go on assignment." I want you to stand to your feet.
Okay, and then from that point on, he just has everybody stand up and cheer. I'm not going to go do that. But did you notice anything problematic with his prayer? Who was he praying to? The devil. This is something I just don't think the word of faith preachers, and this is absolutely word of faith. I mean, you could hear him say, if anybody wants to sow a seed for our switcher, now would be a good time. Right. That's a money pitch right there. If you sow a seed for us to get a new switcher, then, you're going to produce that much more harvest. God is going to give you even more money to do more with. That's the way the word of faith people do their pitch. Make it think that because you give them money, you're going to get even more money. But first he asks for them to sow a seed to get a new switcher. And then he says, I think we can just all cheer, and our cheering will allow our switcher to work without power. And from what I could tell from the video feed, the switcher never did start working again. And the devil hates that church so much that he's going to make their switcher stop working so that they will start praying to him. I really don't think that he was intimidated by anything going on there. And it just goes to show you that they believed they had the power in themselves to overcome Satan. The reference that the pastor used there was incorrect. It's not Ephesians 2:22, it's Ephesians 2:2, but, you know, I've made that mistake before, even used the wrong book in a reference that I was making. But nonetheless, this effort of theirs to try to ward off Satan is a perfectly good example of blaspheming the glorious ones. They do not have a power in and of themselves, not even acting as a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests goes and shares the gospel with those who have not heard. They don't stand and do clap offerings, believing that it's going to make their switchers start working again. They reject authority and blaspheme the glorious ones, when even the archangel Michael himself did not rebuke Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." These people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. And so now we get to the metaphors that Jude uses through verse 13 here. So I'm going to read through this and we'll come back to where we left off. Beginning in verse 12, these are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. So what we looked at last week in verse 12, where we left off on Wednesday, these are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves. So what is the purpose of these two metaphors that we've looked at thus far? It's that these false teachers are hidden, and you're not going to notice them right away. They're not going to come right out and say, "Hey, I'm a false teacher, and I'm here to tell you lies." They're never going to do that. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. So they're going to look like the rest of us, and it takes discernment to know that what it is that they are saying is not of God, but of the flesh, of the devil, and not actually of Christ. The Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 3:5, they have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. And he explicitly says to his servant Timothy, avoid such people. So even in the clip that we just played of this church that was gathering, it seems like they're a bunch of Christians that want to gather together and sing praises to God, but they deny the power of godliness, did not actually worship Christ and believe in his power or desire his righteousness, but instead they believed in their own ability to rebuke the devil, and then their switcher wouldn't start working, which didn't actually happen. So this is false teachers who are hidden among us. They're hidden reefs at your love feast. They will make shipwreck of your faith while they sit at the same table dining with you, shepherds feeding themselves. The other metaphor that Jude uses there, because they look like they belong to the flock. They even look like leaders. They sound like teachers, but they're just there to feed themselves. And so these first two metaphors that he's used, these first two word pictures, have been to describe them as being secret and hidden among us. Hidden reefs, shepherds feeding themselves. Then we get to a section where he describes them in very paradoxical ways. They are waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. And perhaps you, like I reacted the first time when I read Jude 12 and I read waterless clouds, I'm going, how do you have that? How do you have a waterless cloud? That's pretty much what a cloud is. It's water vapor. So if you don't have water in the cloud, how can it be a cloud? Well, that's precisely Jude's point. It's a paradox. They cannot be true teachers of God. He described them as shepherds feeding themselves, but the reality is they're not actually shepherds. He described them as sitting at your love feast, but they don't actually have love. So as they're there dining with you, they're not actually with you. They are against you. So they're waterless clouds. They are existing paradoxes. What it is they exist to do is totally contrary to Christ-likeness and godliness. They're not producing either. They are just there to benefit themselves. They are caught in the snare of the devil to do his will. They are not doing the will of God. So this makes them waterless clouds. This is the name of Justin Peters' presentation that he does on Word of Faith Heretics, on Word of Faith Heretics. Clouds Without Water is the name of that presentation. Used to be called A Call for Discernment, but since he's updated it, it's now called Clouds Without Water. Highly recommend that you watch it. Now, you can watch the first version of it on YouTube for free. That's the Call for Discernment. The updated version, you have to go to Justin Peters' ministry website and buy it. But I have a copy. I have gladly contributed to Justin Peters' ministry to pick up a copy of that DVD, which coming up pretty soon, we're going to be showing in our Sunday night service at church. Right now, we're going through a series on the Protestant Reformation, which is very historical in nature, since this is the 500th year of the Protestant Reformation, 500 years ago that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. So that's what we're doing on Sunday night. But once we finish that up, I want to go through Clouds Without Water, Justin Peters' series, so that we as Christians can be equipped to know what we are looking out for regarding these false teachers, these shepherds who feed themselves, these clouds without water. They are walking paradoxes. For the Apostle Paul instructed that we speak the truth in love. They're not loving. They just love themselves, so they don't speak the truth. Even if something comes out of their mouths that sounds somewhat biblical, it's still a paradox because they in their hearts are not trying to care for the people of God. They're just out to benefit themselves. The Apostle Paul, as he instructed the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4:11, he says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love, according to the Word of God, connected to Christ, a foundation on Christ as the cornerstone, and that is the church. And the benefit of those teachers that have been given by God is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And notice who the apostle starts with there. He gave the apostles and the prophets, those who wrote the New Testament and the Old Testament, respectively. The evangelists, those who are going out and preaching the gospel in the streets, calling to repentance. The shepherds and the teachers, those who are in the church caring for the flock of God, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it is to benefit the body of Christ. that we have been given the gifts and the calling that we have to go and call others to repentance and follow Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. This is the job of the shepherd, what an under shepherd is supposed to do. But these shepherds who feed themselves are walking contradictions, and so they are waterless clouds, swept along by winds, as we just heard from Paul in Ephesians 4, tossed to and fro by every shifting wind of doctrine. If something comes along that proves these guys wrong, well, they'll just manipulate and tweak their doctrine just a little bit so that they can continue to lead the masses astray without sounding like the walking contradiction that they were before. They are still a contradiction, but now they've just changed it a little bit so it sounds like they've corrected the error that they previously made. And boy, these Word of Faith guys do this all the time, and people continue to be duped by them. I think of Benny Hinn, one of the most famous clips of Benny Hinn exposing his heresy is a prophecy thing that he did on New Year's Eve in 1989 when he was prophesying about what was going to happen in the 90s. And he goes into this trance and claims the Holy Spirit is giving him these visions of things that will happen in the 90s. Virtually nothing that he predicted would happen in the 90s happened in the 90s. Like Fidel Castro dying, that just happened a few years ago. that wasn't in the 90s. Devastating earthquakes that would wipe out like the East and West Coast or something like that. That there would be a woman president, I think was one of them. That God would utterly wipe out homosexuality from the United States of America. Clearly that didn't happen. So all of these prophecies that Benny Hinn goes through in 1989 that did not come true, that should have exposed him as the fraud that he was, at the very least by the year 2000, when people look back over the previous decade and see nothing that Benny Hinn predicted actually happened. So he should not even have any credibility anymore, but he does. Others include Robert Tilton, okay, famously known as the farting preacher, thanks to certain videos on YouTube. He's that televangelist guy that would be on late at night telling you to sow a seed to send him some money, and then God is going to multiply it back to you. He's been exposed as a fraud and yet is making a comeback. Peter Popoff is another one. I don't know if you remember Peter Popoff. I don't think he was as big as Tilton, but he used to do this thing where he'd fill up an arena of people, just like Benny Hinn would do, and he would have them fill out a card and give it with their offering or something like that. And then his wife would be in a trailer outside the arena with those cards and would read them to Peter Popoff in a little earpiece that he had. And so it would sound like Popoff is getting some sort of revelation from the Holy Spirit. I'm sensing there's a woman here named Debbie who's got lung cancer. And then there would be, oh yeah, that's me. And so he'd go over to her and you know, say something else based on the information that she put on the card that his wife is reading to him in his earpiece. Well, there was a guy who exposed Popoff as a fraud by getting a radio receiver to intercept the signal that was going from his wife in the van back to the earpiece that he was listening to in his ear, and totally exposed the whole thing that Popoff was doing at these events. And yet he is also making a comeback. Popoff still is out there doing stuff. I think of Hal Lindsey and the stuff that he wrote with the late great Planet Earth, all the prophecies that he claimed was going to happen. Hal Lindsey even made a prediction as to exactly when Jesus was going to return. And when Jesus didn't return then, well, Hal Lindsey just changed his date. So once again, you have these waterless clouds swept along by winds. And yet Lindsey is still consulted as some kind of prophecy expert. You'll see him come on TBN every once in a while, and that's the way they introduce him. Hal Lindsey, prophecy expert. He's a fraud. He's been exposed as a fraud, yet he'll just kind of tweak his message a little bit to make it sound like he, I don't know, still has his pulse on, still has his finger on the pulse of what God is doing, according to him. So the other thing that a waterless cloud can't give you is water. They promise refreshing from the Lord, but because they are a waterless cloud, they don't even have that refreshing to be able to give to you. So then likewise, we get to fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. They don't have any fruit. They're not even rooted in anything to be able to give you fruit, nor are they even standing there for you to be able to point to and say, that's a tree. That's a teacher of God. You can't, because they're already twice dead and uprooted. And this goes right back to statements that we've had made in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, when John the Baptist was talking about the coming of Christ. He said, even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So here we have these false teachers who have not even been given life in the Spirit in their hearts. They are twice dead, uprooted, cast into the pile, and are waiting for judgment. Unless, by God's sovereign grace, they repent of their sin, they cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, and by His grace and the Spirit of God upon their lives, they are granted repentance. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to correct opponents with gentleness, and God may perhaps grant them repentance. So this is precisely the way that we need to engage even with a false teacher, that we correct them with gentleness. God grants them repentance, and they may escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. God have mercy. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we consider these things that have been shared by your servant Jude, may we recognize those who are false teachers and not be led astray by them, but also that you would give us an ability, a gentleness, a love, and a yearning for the people of God, that we would warn others about false teachers so they would not be led astray also. And doing this with gentleness, because we know it is you who grants repentance. We pray that you would give these teachers repentance so that they would not perish in the fire, but they would be branches of the vine, producing the fruit that Christ has given us to produce. For apart from you, we can do nothing. Fill us up with more of your Spirit and desire to do your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to When We Understand the Text. Pastor Gabe is the author of the book 40 of the Most Popular Bible Verses and What They Really Mean, available in paperback or for your Kindle. It can be found at our website at www.utt.com. Join us again tomorrow as we grow together in the study of God's Word, When We Understand the Text.